Wait, sir. Welcome to 44 and 1. He's just so excited to give me his little factoid. Isn't that adorable? He can barely get through the introduction. Welcome to 44 and 1. I'm G Vizzle. This is Tempest. Don't forget to like, subscribe, all that jazz. Tempest, what is your interesting fact?
They have some crazy laws in a lot of countries. And then this one was about the United States. And it is a federal offense to sell spaghetti underneath a certain diameter, I think it's 0.02 inches, as spaghetti. And it's a federal crime to sell it as such.
Because that would technically, I believe, be spaghettini.
I think it's vermicelli or something, I think they call it.
I don't know.
Yeah, but man, a federal crime, though?
What are you in for?
Yeah.
You don't even know. Spaghetti and meatballs, bitch. Served to the wrong person.
Yeah. And then you're...
Did you poison them with it? No.
And the other guy's going to be like, right, now you're going to gargle my meatballs. Because you're in prison, man.
Really? We're like 8 seconds in and you're already...
I didn't swear, though, so we haven't contravened any YouTube arbitrary rules.
No, just the rules of morality and...
Hey, no. Taste. I didn't say that. I was saying he's going to have to gargle meatballs. You're the one that added on the dodginess.
I think you actually said, and we'll roll back the tape, gargle my meatballs.
Yeah, because they belong to him. He's in prison. Sure. He's got his own stash and he has his own meatballs. And he likes to watch his fellow inmates gargle them.
As like a weird fetish?
I don't know. I'm not the guy. I don't know what he gets up to.
Some people like, what do they call it? Mukbang?
What's that?
I think that's what it's called, when you like watch people just eat insane amounts of food.
Yeah, I thought there was one where,
it's an eating show.
Yeah, I'm uneducated with this stuff. I thought mukbang was like a type of food and someone was eating it, because I've only ever heard of it mentioned once before now. And there was two guys doing a mukbang show, and there was somebody getting murdered. Like, they could hear it on the microphone, and the two guys on the screen just kept eating and ignored it. Yeah, and then they could hear somebody else in another flat being horrifically murdered, and they did nothing.
I have 1,007 questions. How did they know they were being murdered? Maybe they were doing their own kind of role play, whatever. Or was it like, did they?
Yeah, I think it was murder. It might have been, it could have been rape or domestic violence or something. But there was somebody getting assaulted in some fashion, and they could hear the noise through the walls in their flat that they were doing the mukbang in. And the two blokes, like sociopaths, ignored it and just carried on with their show. And people were in the chat going, what? And then people were able to marry it up later with news reports. And they were like, holy fuck, that was what happened.
Wow. And they did nothing.
Like, yeah.
Let's just pause this for a second to call the police.
Yeah.
Wow. So a mukbang, also known as an eating show, is an online audiovisual broadcast in which the host consumes various quantities of food while interacting with the audience. It became popular in 2010, and it is a portmanteau of the Korean words for eating and broadcast or show.
Maybe that's what we need to do.
A mukbang?
Yeah, I love eating. It's my favorite thing that I could put on YouTube.
You know, follow your dreams, right?
Yeah.
If you follow your passion, you'll never work a day in your life. Of course.
Time to get that OnlyFans started up.
There's something for everyone. There really is. I think it's been a pleasure working with you, because when your mukbang put OnlyFans career takes off.
Yeah, I'll just leave you in the dust. You won't be able to follow me. I'll be too famous. Like,
I knew him once upon a time.
Yeah, and then I could be really toxic about it. When one day my follower count exceeds yours.
When that day comes, you do you, boo. You'll have earned it.
I have 2% of your follower count.
And my charm and charisma, so that's fair.
Yeah. That's why I'll never be famous, is the second bit. Well, I am British. We're not very well known for it, most of us.
That's true. Imagine what it would be like if I had a posh British accent like you did.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Well, people like compare us, you know, like Tom Hardy and Benedict Cumberbeans and all that. They're the exception to the rule. We're not like that.
I always thought Benedict Cumberbatch was a fake name. The first time I heard it, I thought someone made that.
Joe, I've never been able to get on the Cumberbeans train. And then it's because of, like, you know, when they play a certain role, okay? And the first role I ever saw him play was a child rapist in Atonement. And I've never been able to get past that.
Ted Danson. Me and Ted Danson. I have only during watching The Good Place was I finally able to get over my heebie-jeebies about Ted Danson. But no, he played Stepdaddy No Touch in a made-for-TV movie, and since then, can't do it.
Yeah. It's a legit thing, I think. And it's...
I think that's probably people getting typecast. Yeah. Right, like they play a role really well, and then you can never see them as anything else. Like when Ed O'Neill broke out of Married with Children to be on Modern Family, like I was so thrilled for him because he was such a better actor than
he
kind of got stuck with the Al Bundy forever.
Yeah, but he's like it just showed that he can play a multitude of these roles.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And now he's doing. Now he's playing the president in a commercial for an app. For like a coin master game or something. I saw the commercial for it.
That's hilarious.
You know who else off Married with Children? Katie Sagal. I don't know if you ever watched Married with Children back in the day.
Oh, I know her though. She did the voice of Thingamajiggy on Futurama.
Yeah, and she was the mother, Gemma, in Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, yeah.
And like the progression of her as a character, like she was at the roast of Roseanne Barr. And nobody roasted her. And it's like she's not really Gemma.
Yeah.
But she is just the coolest woman ever. That like they were roasting the shit out of everybody, and then they get to Katie Sagal. I'm like, you're amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we have a thing in our country where people take it to extremes. So, you know, like we get Coronation Street and EastEnders and that. And then the people who get cast in that as real villains, they can't even go walking out in town anymore because people will spit at them and shout abuse at them because of the character they play. And that literally has happened to some of them.
I think that happens in the States too. I mean, maybe not to that same degree, but like, no, I think I actually have heard it. And poor Mila Kunis, everywhere she goes, people just constantly yell at her, shut up, Meg. Apparently. So I think that's why I love when I see like people who are trying to be up and coming actors do commercials for like the craziest things. And say, like, people are really going to believe that you have whatever weird medical ailment and you'll never be able, or like actor portrayal of this murderer. And people be like, I don't know.
Wasn't Sarah Michelle Gellar's first role that we know about was a McDonald's advert or a Burger King advert, something like that?
I think so.
Which is really little.
I think so. And it's amazing. Like my husband and I were talking the other day about like how some young actors get really fucked up later.
Yeah.
But like there's so many of them who are also just kind of like what is the difference between an actor who gets completely fucked up? Like Britney Spears, right? She had that very public meltdown where she shaved her head and then she was kind of out of the limelight for a bit. She started off really young, but then you have someone like Ariana Grande, who started around the same age, and she's always kind of seemed, and I don't know if this is to be true, but she's always kind of seemed like she's got her head on her shoulders and she's never been caught doing weird. I mean, other than the Pete Davidson thing, which some people consider weird, but right. And then you've got like Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling, who both been acting since they were very, very young, and they seem like pretty well-adjusted human beings.
There is a difference, though, in terms of... I don't know where to start on it. So the first bit is that they're all going to be weird because they all grew up in Hollywood. So in terms of their relative weirdness, they're not like regular people. They're not going to be because they have too much money.
Maybe that's what precludes the Ryans, because they're both Canadian and they were on small Canadian shows. So they weren't in Hollywood.
No. What I'm saying is, though, I know that's just a catch-all term, though. Like, so they're still famous actors in whatever they're doing. So that's the first component. And the second one is what kind of handlers are they involved with? Like, who's looking after them and keeping them safe from the public limelight? Because we all do shit, even regular people. We all get up to shit. It's just not shown. We just don't know about it. So I'm pretty sure Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling allegedly are probably quite strange individuals, just like the rest of fucking humanity.
So, probably.
Hang on. And then the third thing is, it depends on what you do. It depends on how people view it, because the girl who did The Exorcist, the one who was like, fuck Jesus and all that.
Blair.
Yeah. Oh, that's the name. Yeah. So when she was about 19, I think, she got blacklisted from Hollywood for the most ridiculous fucking reason I ever heard of. One of her friends peer pressured her into buying some cocaine from a dealer, and she went to do it, got photographed and caught doing it, and was blacklisted from Hollywood.
Meanwhile, Drew Barrymore was in rehab at the age of 13.
Yep.
And she still had a thriving career.
Yeah.
It's
bollocks is what it is. They're just human beings.
It's fickle. They are fickle.
It's just human beings like the rest of us. They're all capable of flaws. And then I think that the other defining thing is how much other people like them and how much clout them or their family has within the industry and the people they work with. So somebody like Britney Spears got away with a lot of certain, I'm not going to say got away because she didn't do anything wrong, really. She was just unwell. But she was enabled to do a lot of things by her community around her, and they allowed her to do a lot of stuff like that Henry VIII syndrome I've told you about before, where it's like, well, just let her do it. And it's like, no, she has fucking bipolar disorder. It's a legit thing that she's had her whole life, and she's just surrounded by fuckwit enablers that just want her to be weird and to make what they can off of her.
Yeah, because every time she showed up in the newspapers or the magazines, it was money.
Exactly. And they're just surrounded, like, I think in Britney Spears' case, I don't know what she's like as an individual, obviously, but I can tell from the way that things are reported about and the way that people around her act, she's surrounded by fucking vultures. Yeah. And nobody deserves that. All right, Chris from the future here. So today on our What the Fuck Is Wrong With You segment, we have a pretty heavy clip to listen to. So just forewarning you guys, this is something that did go viral at the time, and it's about a guy who just won't take no for an answer. Anyway, enjoy, I guess.
It's tagged in this video I'm going to show you so many times, but we're going to have to break it down so we can really talk about it, so I need you to stick with me. And I want to give you a heads up, because this video can be hard to watch.
I'm going to play a song for a woman that I kind of like, and I got there, and she saw me, and she immediately pulled away, and I wasn't forcing her to listen or anything, you know. I just wanted to play the song for her, you know, give her own choice if she wanted to be with me.
So he says he wanted to give her own choice on whether or not she wanted to be with him. But then he chased her when she pulled away. So he didn't want to give her a choice. He wanted to scare her into feeling like she didn't even have one.
Yeah. So I chased her a little bit just because, I don't know, women are crazy. Like, I felt like she, like, wanted me to chase her.
This is what's so dangerous about people saying things like women are crazy or women don't know what they want. Because it implies that when they do say no, they may not even really mean it. And do you see what happens when dangerous men with microphones tell self-admitted incels what women want?
Mm-hmm.
They say women want to be chased. And this man hears those words and continues to chase a woman who's literally running away from him.
Yeah. Chasing somebody's crazy? Well, it's just like, I only went like a couple blocks down the street.
Just saying, chasing somebody's crazy?
A couple blocks?
Yeah.
Man, it's like, because I remember this now. I haven't seen Kaylee talking about it, but she's been spot on so far. And
yeah,
I remember this guy. Complete fuckwit. Complete, like, that behavior is dangerous.
That's why that blonde woman that we've talked about before, we're going to talk about her in more depth. That's why she is so dangerous, because men like this listen to that one pick me pandering woman who says women want to be chased, and they think, yeah, every woman wants to be chased. Even when they are literally running away, they're like, no, you want this. And it's like, they never listen. When hundreds of women show up to those comments in droves to say, no, don't listen to this woman, this is not what we want, they're like, nah, she said it. So this guy, someone told him once women were playing hard to get, and he is now in front of two police officers being like, you know, women, they wanted me to chase them.
Yeah. And the police officers are like, nope, not buying it, buddy.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, there was a whole bunch of warning flags already, but, and then when it got to the bit about the two blocks, I only followed her for two blocks. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Oh, there's more.
Well, I had my song playing and I wanted to like her to hear it.
He had a...
Hang on. And this is okay, yeah, and this is about he had a song that said something to him and he wanted to convey that message to her, but he didn't just send it in an email or a text or whatever, like most normal people do. He had to go to her workplace so that he could watch her listening to it to make sure, like, this is, I want you to know this is how I feel about you.
I think they work together, if I'm not mistaken, but this guy has also confused himself with, like, John Cusack at the end of Say Anything, where he's, like, holding up the boombox, and he thinks it's going to do... That movie was also pretty terrible for shit like this. We'll talk about that another day. But...
but even then, like, the two scenarios are so different. Like, standing outside a house with a boombox, like... 20 feet away compared to being in someone's face with your phone going, listen to the song, listen to it.
But that's how he sees it, right? Like, he doesn't see that he's being creepy. He thinks he's being like, I just want to show you something. Like, this is completely harmless. He doesn't see the creep factor in what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. And then we'll come to the, like, after we finish watching the clip, we'll break down what the manosphere usually says in defense of this behavior and why what they're saying is wrong.
Song playing and he just wanted her to hear it. And if those words sound familiar, it's because it's the same thing you hear from every assailant trying to justify an assault. It's always the same thing. I just wanted her to give me a chance. I just wanted her to like me. I just wanted her to listen to me. And if she had just done what I had asked, then she would have never gotten hurt. And they say it with so much conviction, like it's the victim's fault instead of the perpetrator. But this is not a valid excuse. It doesn't matter what you want because no one's obligated to give it to you.
Yeah, that was exactly what, in a completely different scenario, but the same mechanism, is what happened to that that researcher that I was telling you about, where this guy, like, she was doing that competition and the guy said, well, you should offer a date, a dinner date. And then she was like, no. And then he was like, well, how about you just give us a chance then? And then it's like, nobody owes you a chance. Where is that entitlement to being given a chance?
Well, it's like men who think that women are just, you know, NPCs who are there for their viewing pleasure, because like a woman can't even walk down the street minding her own business without men blaming them for triggering them or making them feel in a certain way. Women aren't out here for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, they're just not getting it. Like, as far as he is concerned, she is a woman, so she is up for grabs.
I think there's a lot of comedy sketches that could be made about NPCs and video games and comparing it to how men must think women are when they're not around. Yeah, exactly. And then and I was thinking as well that in their little weird world, women are basically the organic equivalent of the puzzle box in Hellraiser, and they're surprised when it all goes wrong and they're
well, it's like that tweet that I showed you before where a woman had tweeted out that like a guy was telling her what she should do to be more attractive, and she was like, explain to me why you think I'm trying to attract you, right? Yeah. That mindset of it is just, I think that's part of the whole, what makes it so dangerous. It's like people who think every dog out there is a dog to be petted instead of like asking the owner, can I pet your dog? Right? Not everything is out there for you to just take and grab. You're not a toddler who doesn't know any better, right? So like they need to just come to terms with not everything is for you. Grab your hands.
Yeah, and it does kind of start with that childhood stuff, doesn't it? That this is why family pets are a good idea, is because it teaches children how to restrain themselves and how not to chase their id desires, and that like you can't just grab the cat because it's fucking fluffy and cute. That cat is a like, it's an animal, it has thoughts and beliefs and all that to a certain extent, and you know, it has its own sense of identity. And you know,
there was a dog trainer who put out a video on like, here's how you stop people when they want to touch your dog, right? Because if someone wants to pet Zool, she's not a warm, friendly dog, right? She's reactive, she'll growl, she'll back off. She's not going to bite, but she's not the warm and fuzzy. So if people just walk up to her and try to pet her, they're going to think that like, oh, she's such a mean dog because of the way she responds. But it's like, you wouldn't walk up to a person and just start stroking their hair, right?
So could you imagine?
Those same things. But like, so this woman did this whole video and like, here's how you say no, because people have been super aggressive with her when she has said no my dog is not friendly. Like, well, does that make you pet your dog? He wants to pet your dog. She's like, no.
It'll bite your kid's face off.
You can't just pet my dog because you want to pet my dog. And like, a lot of people just don't get it. Like, come on, what's your problem? Let me pet your dog. And if you're doing that in front of your kid because you want your kid to pet this dog, what your kid is learning is that if you just keep harassing people and wear them down, eventually they're going to either give in or you just take what you want.
Exactly. We'll come back to the dog thing after this, maybe in part two, because I think it's relevant. But anyway, so I see the subtitles here. Her father called me up and he made some threats to me and my life. So he's trying to make himself the victim now. He's hard done by. I've seen this a lot.
He just wanted her to hear this song and now her dad is being mean to him.
Yeah. I see this.
Because he scared the shit out of his daughter.
Yeah, exactly. And he's done what every fucking father would want to do, you know?
Man. Her father called me up and he made some threats to me and to my life.
You're chasing your daughter.
You felt completely comfortable telling the police that someone had threatened your life for threatening the safety of their daughters. He says her father's trying to control her, and by control her, he means interfering in his ability to intimidate her.
But it wasn't chasing, it was like going down a couple streets, like to women. Like, women like that, a little bit of excitement.
No, they don't.
What about like BDSM porn, where women like to be have fantasies?
Well, apparently this girl does.
He makes this reference to porn, but remember that people watch the kind of porn that appeals to them. So he's using the way that women behave in make-believe movies meant to appeal specifically to his demographic as an excuse for how to treat women in real life.
What happens when women don't ever, you know, come to terms with themselves? That shit happens.
This is a frustration when people say that women are dramatic or ask them why they didn't just say no. Because they never seem to understand that our words mean nothing to a man that refuses to hear them. That woman is in danger for no other reason than that man being attracted to her. And if you can't understand the fear that that instills in women, then I promise you that you are part of the problem.
Oh, that was fucking appalling.
And he still didn't get it. Like, even when the two male police officers, when he says women like to be chased, two male police officers says, no, they don't. And he's like, yeah, porn.
Yeah. I've never watched BDSM porn, so I can't really speak for what kind of videos they make. But I can't imagine that BDSM porn involves the specific context of chasing a woman down the street to make her listen to her phone so that she will know unequivocally how you feel about her. And then she will know then that she feels the same way about you. And then, but that doesn't matter anyway, because you're entitled to her. How is that relevant to porn?
Like, and I think porn is one thing, because I've seen other like guys make on Reddit posts or TikToks trying to make porn feel like real life, or like they don't understand there's a difference between the two. But I also blame almost every romantic comedy that has ever been made, because they perpetuate that myth that you got to chase someone, you got to be persistent, you can't take no for an answer, you got to keep trying, the I love you, I hate you, stay away from me, kiss me trope, like all of that. It's like when women, young girls, think they're Disney princesses because they've watched all those movies, right? Like, it just creates such an unrealistic, like, wouldn't it be great if there was a movie where a guy approaches a woman, she says no, and he's like, okay, and then he goes off and meets somebody else. That's the end of it.
But like, the thing is like, guys like that as well, like, another common trope that they come out with is that computer games don't make people violent, and porn doesn't make them want to do certain things, right? So I'm not sure that we can blame, because there's no evidence that by watching something makes you want to do something. There's no evidence of that. And like, and you learn norms and stuff. So what I'm trying to get at is that if I play a game, I understand that I'm not a Formula One racing driver. I'm not a army general. I'm not a fucking deity. I'm me, right? And I can understand the difference between reality and fiction. And so this behavior that they are obviously replicating the behavior from somewhere, but they basically, if they can tell the difference between fantasy and reality in all these other situations, why is it when it comes to women's behavior that they believe everything that they're told, but they've not necessarily experienced it?
It's the same thing that we've talked about before, where men talk about the evolutionary drive to want to like conquer as many women as possible, but not to go out and like slay a wild boar for dinner, right? Like, they pick and choose whatever suits their narrative. And they don't want to believe that. It's like the guys who, like, I saw a Reddit post this morning of this 19-year-old guy who has just learned that his 18-year-old girlfriend had sex twice with her ex-boyfriend. And now his language is, he is devastatingly depressed over this because of the oxytocin that released for her. And he's going to be, petting a dog releases oxytocin. Like, she's not allowed to pet dogs anymore. And because now they are bonded and he's not going to be able to match that connection. And it's like, God, like, for every 1,000 people who know that when they're playing Grand Theft Auto, they're not really, committing a heist, there's that one person who's like, yeah, I could totally do it.
But this is what
pick and choose what works for them and what doesn't.
This is what really frustrates me with them, is that, like, they pick and choose what so-called literature that they think that they pay attention to. And, like, it's the same kind of people that really get into Rick and Morty. I love Rick and Morty, but the kind of guy, there's like a certain kind of man that watches it to make himself feel clever. And it's because the plots are not even that complicated, but they feel complicated because of the way that they're delivered, and that Rick is presented as this really clever guy. And so whatever he says must mean that it's real and it's factual and it's all about science, Morty. And then they take all this other stuff that, like, no expert worth their salt has ever fucking said. They're taking information from other unqualified people, like these Manosphere dating coaches and all that stuff. And there's nothing within psychology that is supported, that supports what they're fucking saying. And then they pick and choose what it is, and they can never give you good evidence for it. They can never go, well, here's the fucking study, dude. Oh, here's the PhD thesis someone wrote. Here's the entire body of evidence that has been cultivated over 20 years. And now we definitively know that women want to be chased 2 blocks down the street and raped in a bush. That's not what women fucking want. And it's not what the research says. Like,
no, and it's, I think, because they don't see women as actual real people who have the same kind of drives and emotions and thoughts and feelings. And, like, yes, there are differences between men and women. However, they kind of feel like we're a completely different alien species that cannot articulate, this is exactly what I want. Like, yes, there are some women, just like there are some men who would waffle, and there are some women who give the rest of us a bad name by making false allegations and doing that ridiculous, hard to get, right? There, of course, there's always bad apples in every batch, male and female. But for the most part, when women say no, they do mean no.
It's clear.
And when men are hearing that as maybe or not now or try harder or chase me, like, that is where all of this stems from. But then, again, women, like, it's always this, no one can ever win, because if a woman plays hard to get, she's a frigid bitch. If she relents, then she's been run through. And there's just no getting around it.
Yeah. And then usually what you get in society is that, like, one group will say one part one and then another group will say part two. But in their case, they are that one group that is saying, she's being coy, she wants me to chase her, and, oh no, she's a frigid bitch, so I'm allowed to rape her. But then, oh, actually, she's been run through by other guys because she consensually gave up sex. And usually that kind of stuff in other areas in society comes from different groups of people. And then people usually amalgamate it and think that all men are like that and all women are like that. But what these guys are doing is they're all saying these same, these different contradictory statements that like, they can't exist in the same world. Like, they're illogical. Like, they make no fucking sense. And yet they talk about how trans ideology makes no sense. It's like, if you listen to yourself speak.
But this guy, like, he even, the fact that he couldn't even use, as he's telling his own story, he wasn't seeing the holes in the story, right? Like, if she did think it was fun, as he says, like, it was exciting to be chased, if she did think that, then why did she go home and tell her dad and let her dad call you to threaten you? Like, at some point he's got to be like, oh, maybe she wasn't into it, which is why her dad called me. Because if she did enjoy it as much as he likes to believe that she did, she wouldn't have gone home and been like, holy shit, dad, I just got chased for 2 blocks, can you call this guy? She would have just been like,
exactly, but, oh, I got chased.
Are you looking for fun new glasses that won't break the bank? Go to zlul.com. They have daily flash sales, You can find frames as low as $2. Prescription, non-prescription, sunglasses, they have it all. Use my promo code to save.
There are some men that genuinely lack social skills and they lack social experience. And I think a good litmus test with whether this person could potentially be a malevolence or a liability or a risk to you, or whether they're worth, like, it's okay, they'll be fine, they just got to find their way, is whether they can learn from their experience. And even when it comes to things like learning disability and autism, where we struggle to learn from our experiences, there is an awareness there. Like, we can intellectually... So if I do something that pisses somebody off and I don't see why, I can't comprehend it, I at least understand that I did and that I shouldn't do that thing again. Even though I might not be able to comprehend it, like, well, I don't see why I fucking pissed you off, whatever. But I'm like, okay, but I shouldn't do that then because I respect other people and I shouldn't try and piss them off. So even though I don't understand it, I should not do that thing. But then when it crosses over into somebody and it's not a social skills problem, and it probably could be malevolence or something darker, like, you know, darker side of their personality is coming out, is that lack of acceptance that they've even done anything wrong? It's like they're making no effort to understand it. They're making no effort to either change or stop the behavior. And they think that they're the victim and that the other person was wrong. And they get adamant about it.
Well, and even just, like, I'm still stuck on him using porn as his justification for, like, and like you said, there's not everybody who, you know, plays Call of Duty thinks that they're an expert sniper, but this guy has watched porn and convinced himself. He is of that small minority who has convinced himself that, yeah, that's exactly what women want.
Yeah.
And, like, he doesn't, like, it's the whole thing is catering to the fantasies, as she said, of the viewer. And, like, different people watch different things. So if he's watching that, like, it is, and he's convinced himself that that's what women want, then it's only a matter of time before he goes to that next level and still, like, I don't get it. She was just playing hard to get.
Yeah, she was wearing clothes and they were alluring, so.
She was outside.
Yeah. Unescorted. And
yeah, that's the thing that, like, is so infuriating about it. I was listening to the audiobook by Chanel Miller, who, she was the young woman who was assaulted by Brock Turner, I believe his name was, and then he was found guilty of the assault but only had, like, the mildest sentence because he's an excellent swimmer. Why ruin the young man's career? And so she chronicles the court case, right, where he barely answered any questions about what he was doing, what his state of mind was, what was going on. But she had to, why are you at this party? Why are you wearing that outfit? Why did you have drinks? How much did you drink? Well, like, it's that victim blaming where she had to constantly relive that night over and over and over again and justify every decision she made of why she was at a university student at a university party with, I think, her sister and friends. And it's like nothing she did warranted what happened, but she had to relive it, which is kind of like, it makes me wonder, and I know that this is a big assumption, but it makes me wonder the allegations that women have retracted, right? Where it's like, oh, they're making false allegations. Are they really false allegations, or have women just been broken down and they don't want to have to continually relive it, that eventually they just go, you know what, forget, I made it up. I just can't. Right? Like, eventually that just wears you down.
Yeah, exactly. There are so many reasons why people withdraw their allegations that we can't ever know just how much of a percentage were false allegations. And to be honest, it almost doesn't matter, because for the crazy statistic, I mean, you know it, but other people might not listening, is that a man is 240 times more likely to be raped than to have a successful false allegation against him where he gets convicted. Like, he's more like 240 times more likely to be raped than that. It matters to the individuals that they happen to, but on a societal level, we need to stop being worried about false allegations because they're so fucking rare.
Yeah. But it's also that whole, everyone thinks it won't happen to them, right? Like, nobody, especially I think men, no man thinks there's a chance of me being raped, right? Like, I think that's just so far out of men's thought processes. But I could see where they would think that they would be have false allegations against them because they're around women all the time and they have this like fear of women or fear of their own actions being misconstrued, that it gets that fear. Like where women have different fears, right? Women do fear being raped because it happens all the time, right? And every time it does happen, it's not, she put herself, she was hanging out in a dark alley wearing nothing but a G-string. She went to the bathroom by herself in a bar and she was assaulted. She took the stairs in her apartment building and she was assaulted. Like it just can happen almost anywhere. But I don't think men ever think that it'll happen to me.
Yeah. The other thing that I think in general, something that Western society, I can't speak for other cultures, but in Western society, what we struggle with, men and women alike, is unless it's happened to us specifically, or we know somebody that something has happened to, so that we can share that, we can have that experience shared with us, we kind of almost deny it's a problem that it happens. And I think that's why a lot of these people get away with things, is because people can't, they have trouble understanding and comprehending that some people are just bad. And that people do lie. Like, we're intellectually aware that people lie all the time. But if the amount of times that someone gets away with, oh, I'm a nice guy, but then they'll do loads of nefarious shit behind closed doors that no one knows about. And then it comes out like, oh, but they said you were a nice guy. What? You fucking believed them? Like.
And that's the thing. Like, everybody tries to put people into boxes of good and bad. Everybody has good in them and everybody has bad in them. Everybody has the potential for both. And doing one bad thing doesn't mean you're not a good person. Just like doing one good thing doesn't mean you're not a bad person. Like you do good things, you do bad things, but that doesn't define who you are. But there are some people where the scales tip a little bit more to the bad things than the good. Yeah. And I think people just hero worship, for lack of a better word. Which is why then they get so devastated when they realize that their heroes are actually real people.
And then they think it kind of means that everything they've said was bollocks or whatever. And it's like, no, it doesn't. It just means that they're a shithead and that you shouldn't trust them. But it doesn't mean that what they said was wrong.
And then, like, nobody gives anybody an opportunity to... what's the word I'm looking for? Starts with an R.
A redemption?
Yes.
Redeem themselves?
Yeah, because it's like they make that mistake once and then they are forever painted as that person. Like there's never any opportunity for them to grow and learn from that experience and move forward and make them a better person. None of that. Like that guy we talked about a couple weeks ago who was perpetrator of a school shooting.
Yeah.
And then was attacked by swords when he was working at a homeless shelter. And people were still like, that happened a long time ago. Yes, it was a terrible thing that he did. He has grown from that, he's learned from that, he's used that to help police departments, so he has taken some corrective steps, but the comments are still like, Skarma, you deserve it. It's like, which is
no one deserves it.
But it's also like when you look at like prison systems in the United States, right, like they're not geared towards
rehabilitation.
Yes. And whereas like I think it's Brazil, it's a country has programs for like, if you read 12 books a year, write a report on these books, educate yourself, then you can reduce your prison sentence by a few months, because they are trying to rehabilitate and reintegrate people back into society. Where in like in an entire country that doesn't believe people can change, how would you expect your prison system to do anything and to rehabilitate people?
I think it's Sweden or Norway, they have one where men who are lifers, like they've been in prison 20-30 years, when they get into the end of their sentence, they put them into like a little community with the other lifers, and they get like their own little flat and they have like an allotment and stuff, so they can start learning how to reintegrate, so that when they leave prison, they're not just going to go back out into the world with all their prison skills they've got and all the other nefarious shit they did inside. They start trying to rehumanize them, so it's like, okay, big life change coming. You've been in prison for 25 years. You need to learn how to be a human again. And they kind of teach them how to do that. And then they kind of, they start, basically it's a way of providing evidence that you can be reintegrated back into society. Nice. And people totally misunderstand it. They think they're like all these headlines about it being like a holiday ranch and shit like that. And it's like, no, you're missing the fucking point.
You know what? But I think people who think that, compare it to their, like, I saw, I think it was a Swedish or it was a Nordic country. They were showing their prison cells, and their prison cells were like nicer than my niece's dorm room. And but just because somebody has done some shady shit doesn't mean you treat them like animals, right? When you put them in pens, you treat them like animals. How do you expect them to behave? If you want them to eventually reintegrate, then you need to let them maintain their humanity and their individuality and learn and grow as people. But if someone is seeing that and they're bent about it, it's because they're looking around their own space and be like, how can these got better off than I do, right? Like I'm reading a book with my eyes, actually. I'm reading a book, and it's about four or five, can't remember, senior citizens who were living in a retirement community, and the retirement community keeps stripping back their programs and stuff because they're trying to save money. So they're like, shit, if we were in Sweden, they're like, if we were in prison, we would get better treatment. So they plan a heist in an attempt to get arrested. Yeah. They're trying to get arrested so they can go to prison because prison will treat them better than
it's the retirement bollocks, isn't it? It's awful. Actually, there's a lot of stuff in the UK where there's care homes run by factory owners. Okay, so these are like factory moguls, and then the care sector is such a cash cow for them, and they will just drain the resources out of it, overwork the staff, give a shit quality of life to the residents there. Like, these are people, not just elderly, but forensics people, forensic risks, learning disabled people, all sorts of problems. And they'll just extract the most amount of resources they can, because it's all paid for by the government through our tax money. And there's no competition for them because no one else is providing it, or very few people are. So they're able to set up these giant, basically residential care homes, and just completely exploit everybody involved. And no one's fucking talking about it. Pisses me off.
It's like a friend of mine now is trying to find a care home for her mother. And she was, if they go to like the government funded ones, they are underfunded and you get, the quality of care is terrible. But then if you go to a private one, you're not guaranteed a better quality of care, and they're robbing you blind because it costs an absolute fortune to put someone in there. And so, like, there's not that balance of finding a place that's going to treat your loved one well for a reasonable amount of money.
Exactly. Oh, awful. Go back to the bloke's thing as well. I was thinking the other day that, so they have this entitlement, right, that they're expected to be allowed to mate with someone, right? These blokes, okay? And they think, like, well, everybody I know has a woman, so I should be allowed a woman too. Because obviously everybody they know is going to be male. They don't know any women. So everybody I know has a woman. I want a woman. I want to get laid. How do I get one? And then they also, they don't realize the amount of work and effort it is to, like, no matter who you are, what walk of life you're from, to find a good long-term relationship with somebody that understands you and you get on well enough with that you can stand living with them for the rest of your fucking life. And then the amount of effort that takes, and they're all just focused on that first bit. It's like, how do I ensnare it? I say it because that's obviously how they view it, and ensnare because that's their strategy. And they don't seem to... So they think that because I'm a man, I should be able to get a woman because women give the good so easily. There's women out there that sleep with everybody. Why won't they sleep with me? And it's not even why won't they? It's they should. They should sleep with me because I want it. And then they don't understand that actually most of us in the world aren't attracted to most other people. Right? Most of us are not attracted to or attractive for most other people. The vast majority of people you reach, that you meet in your life, will not have a single sexual thought about you or inclination. It's the way life is.
Yeah.
And nor should you.
No, that would be a terrible way to go through life. If you were led by your crotch and everybody It's like they understand these things when it suits them, right? It's like men understand consent when it's a gay guy hitting on them. Men understand one not being attracted to somebody when they meet a woman they're not attracted to. They understand it, but then they just don't understand how it applies to them.
Yeah.
Right. And it goes back to like what we talked about, like from the time you're children, right? Like little boys would pick on little girls. They would pull their hair, snap their bra straps, tease them. And then when girls would complain, oh, he just likes you. And then girls are taught that. it's, I saw a woman who, she talked about her baby, and like, unless you dress your baby in aggressively pink or aggressively blue, you can't tell the gender of a baby, right? By looking at a baby. And when people think that her baby is a boy, they're like, look how strong you are, look how big you are, and then you're such a smart, clever boy. And then when she's like, no, actually it's a girl, you're such a pretty girl, look at that print, like
this is a princess.
The adjectives are for boys are like, you're smart, you're strong, you're clever, and then for girls it's like, you're so pretty. And they can be both, right?
Yeah, everybody
can be both.
Oh man, yeah.
I think when you tell little boys, right, and it's like the number of people I see tweeting and putting on Reddit how they're trying to teach their sons, right? Like a woman was talking about her 13-year-old son came home and he was like, I like this girl. I asked her out. She said no. And then as a mother, she's like, do you know what you do next? And then he was like, I try harder. She was like, he said, I know, try again. She was like, no. She said, no, you move on.
Good woman.
Right? Like that we just keep teaching young boys to try harder and we teach young girls to like, don't give it up so easily.
Mm. And the thing is it has so many implications for all other aspects of your life, that thinking, that it's like, if a young girl is taught that, well, when I grow up and I become a woman, I should give men a chance, I should get to know them, I should placate people and be a diplomat. And if you think, if you apply those things that they're taught to do in any other aspect of life, then you can easily see the repercussions. So when it comes to negotiating a pay rise, when it comes to conflict with a coworker, when it comes to a job interview, when it comes to having a dispute with a friend or your family member, like, or when it comes to your healthcare, you know?
Yeah. Like a lot of women don't advocate for themselves because we're taught to just be quiet and passive. Right. And there was I saw a TikTok, a woman who went and she complained about pain. Her doctor referred her to a surgeon for appendicitis. To get an appendectomy, and the surgeon was like, nah, your appendix are fine, it's probably something with you, like you have ovarian cysts. And she was like, I literally don't have ovaries. And they didn't believe her until they checked her chart, and she was like, I fucking told you. And they sent her home, like I think it was twice before they opened her up to remove her ovarian cysts for ovaries she didn't have, and they were like, oh fuck, look at your appendix. And she was
I told you.
Like they're just not like the medical misogyny in every aspect of it. Like women are just taught, just take what you take it, and swallow it.
Certainly in the UK at the moment. Yeah. I think I'll probably add a bit more granularity to that in the sense, I don't think it's medical misogyny in that sense. I'm not entirely sure that exists in that way. What I think it is the way that an older generation of doctors are taught to interact with their patients, and then the way that society has taught men and women to react to authority figures. And then, I think it's an authority figure problem is what I'm saying. So what I'm trying to say is it's not a medical, it's not specifically a medical industry issue. It's a more of a wider societal issue that like, you've got doctors who have been trained in a certain way to expect certain things from patients and to be that authority figure that they know everything and that you need to listen to them. And then when you wind, like if you start to include then the way that women and men, the differences in the way that they're treated in society as a whole, and then you add in like this, there's a lot of research I've read about how psychiatrists see themselves as gods. And this is from patient perspectives, and how they treat the patients and talk down to them, and then the patients just have to accept what they're saying, that the psychiatrist is saying as fact. So I think that you've got that as one mechanism, and then on top of that, you've got the way that society differentiates between men and women, and going back to the stuff we said earlier about the way women are taught when they're growing up to be diplomats and placating. Then they bring that to the appointment, and the doctor is expecting a woman to be that way because that's her place. And I don't mean that, they think that. And so it's not like, it's not specifically medical misogyny. It's like, it's misogyny and male chauvinism that exists within our system. And this is one expression of it in society.
That was a long way to say that you can just chalk it up to medical misogyny in that particular instance.
No, because it's not... It's not the medical industry, because
it's that, but you can't paint, you're doing the TikTok thing of painting everything with the same brush. Not every doctor is going to have that. In that instance, that doctor is taking their position. Like, this woman literally said, "I don't have ovaries," and they didn't believe her.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I'm not saying that that's misogyny, though, because I've had other encounters with the doctors and stuff, and I'm not painting everybody with the same brush. I'm talking about what tends to happen. And then if you say it's medical misogyny, that is tarring everybody with the same brush. It's like a systematic thing within the medical industry that the whole thing is constructed in a misogynistic way, which patently isn't true. Because if it was, we wouldn't have instances where men get testicular cancer in the UK and have pretty much forgotten about, fuck it, got prostate cancer, deal with it. But, oh, women get breast cancer, you get, like, however often you have to have your screenings, you get cervix screenings and all that stuff and breast screenings. And there's everything is given to women for that. So if medical misogyny existed, that difference wouldn't happen.
But what is that difference, though? Like, women go for their pap smears and their mammograms.
Mm.
Okay. How is that different than a man going for his prostate screening or whatever?
It's the way that we're treated when we do get cancer. And it's the way, the amount of money and resources and attention that is paid to it. So with the prostate screening and with testicular testing and all that stuff, like, we do it ourselves. And it's like, we're not, it's hardly spoken about among men, and it's not spoken about by the media. We don't get any attention paid to us in society that we need to be doing this more often. And we don't have, like, big campaigns about it. And there's, I mean, the way women are treated about it is the way it should be. I'm not saying that that shouldn't happen. I'm saying that we need to elevate the way men are treated. There was a case a few years ago where a man and a woman, an elderly couple, they both got their cancer diagnosis within a week of each other. She got breast cancer. He got either prostate or testicular cancer. And he was treated like shit. Same hospital. And he was just basically, oh, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, get on with it, it's not that bad. And then she was basically like, by comparison, I'm not saying she actually was, but by comparison, she was fucking pampered, red carpet rolled out, everything.
So that's not the experience that, like, I've seen on this side of the pond, right? Like, my uncle had colon cancer, and it was treated just as seriously as, you know, a woman having cancer. So, like, that may be a...
I think this might be, like, because European countries tend to be a bit more left-wing, and our institutions and our politics is geared more towards that. And I think that there was an overcorrection. So back in, I think, the late 90s, early 2000s, there was, like, this big awareness about how badly women were being treated by the medical industry. And then so they overcorrected it, but forgot about the men at the same time. So I think that's kind of what's happened. And then because our NHS is tied to our government, I think they were able to use that as a election strategy, and they were able to win votes by pushing that agenda. So it doesn't surprise me that that experience isn't mirrored over there.
No, I have not seen that experience. Although my grandmother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she kind of decided to walk it off. She was already in her 80s, and then the doctor was like, but she was like, you don't need radiation, you don't need chemotherapy, we just laser it off, you'll be home in a couple of days, and you live 10 more years. And her response was, what am I gonna do with 10 more years? She lived 8.
Wow. Wow.
And it wasn't the cancer that got her. She was like Nosferatu.
She just didn't feed quick enough, and then, you know, she just turned to dust.
You know, we made fun of her so much because she was, like, so paranoid about everything. But, I mean, fuck, she lived to be 98. Like, I don't know.
Wow.
Maybe she knew some shit. Mm.
Like, I was just thinking something earlier that I want to go back to with these idiot blokes. And because obviously there are quite a small percentage of the male population that are, like, this bad, like that guy was. But I do wonder what it's like to live in their world, right? Because I was just thinking, like, how do they feel when they get strong female characters on TV? I had to just look up her name, Kate Kennedy, right? She's, like, fucking 6'4" or something. She's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. And she's in Halo. And she's basically a strong female character who is literally physically strong, right? And I wonder how they feel when they watch a woman like that doing that kind of role. I wonder what goes through their heads.
I've been very curious about it. Like, I've gotten down a couple of rabbit holes on Reddit, and it's terrifying, actually, how they do think, because it may be the small minority of men, but then they are able to find each other and egg each other on and feed each other and make it even worse. Because as soon as there's like one guy who has like a glimmer of like, what if women aren't, then the rest of them are like, no, they are. They absolutely are. Yeah. Like, they've created a community where they just, like, there was one guy who was, he was even asking for instruction on how to red pill. And he was like, you know, I'm kind of questioning some stuff and like, maybe. And everyone else was like, no, stay the course, guy. Stay the course. Just, you can do it. Cut women out. Don't talk. Like, they were coaching him on how. Yeah. And it's like, it's weird that a lot of them are trying to improve themselves, right? Like, this guy was like, you know, like, I've forgotten about trying to find a woman and I'm going to focus on myself. I've gone to the gym. I'm like reading more. I'm doing all these things to improve myself. And instead of, he was like, now I don't see women as an enhancement to my life. I see that they are something to conquer, right? Like, that's their, the thought process. So they're improving themselves, but not for any other reason other than to like continue to be shitty. And then they can be like, it's like those guys, like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, I work out, I have a good job, I have this, I have that. Like, why won't women like me? It's like, well, you're probably not approaching women, and your probably personality is lacking. And just because you work out doesn't mean women are going to flock to you. Like, men just assume they just pop up and women are going to be dropping at their feet.
Yeah.
Without having to make any sort of effort or have any sort of personality.
Which hardly ever fucking happens. Like, like, first of all, like, in any regular man's life, if you think about the percentage of women that you encounter in your life, 0.00001% are just going to fall at your feet.
And you tripped over something.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, and then if they do, you need to question what's going on. It's probably a honey trap.
But it's so weird. Like, it's amazing to me, because then I see these other women who are like, I've been with my husband for 20 years, and all of a sudden he is just gone hard down the Andrew Tate road. And it's like, this couple, they've been married for 7 years, they planned to start a family together. 7 years into their marriage, they talked about having a family, got pregnant, this guy's friend was baby trapped, and then he came home and started accusing his wife of baby trapping him, and she was like, what? Like, she laughed at him because she thought it was a joke, and he was like, then he got left and went to stay with his friend because she was dismissing his feelings. And it's like, we planned this baby together. And he's like, you baby trapped me. She was like, we're already married. What else?
Yeah.
But they just, I don't know what happens with these like men who are in seemingly normal, healthy relationships that just pop the red pill and then they go, wham.
Yeah. And another aspect to that, I think, is that reliance on appearances. That if somebody is presenting a certain way, then they must be that way. And then based on that appearance of what I think that should look like. I did that video earlier that it was based on what that guy was saying about prehistoric gender roles and all that stuff. And I gave like a sensible response and saying, okay, but if you take this alpha, sigma, Chad mindset thing that all men are supposed to be, like, we're supposed to be these providers, tribe leaders and resource givers and all this shit. And like, you do realize that the definition of what this alpha male sigma mindset thing is, the only men that fulfill that are the fucking Navy SEALs and the Royal Marines and the SAS. Like, the men that are capable of being that are so vanishingly small, it's nearly zero.
But it's also like, men who are confident and secure within themselves, they know who they are and they're comfortable with who they are, they don't need to apply labels to themselves like alpha and beta, because they don't need to prove to anyone
exactly
who they are, right? Like, all these men who, and that's what the scariest part is, that they lack confidence, they lack any self-awareness or self-sufficiency or self-love, for lack of a better phrase. So they glom onto these men that tell them, it's okay, all you gotta do, buddy, all you gotta do is make a little money, treat them like shit and get some muscle, and you'll be fine. And they're like, I have to work on myself or who I am as a person.
We know that this bloke, right? And he's like, he's kind of like quintessentially what I imagine of what a real masculine man is. Like, he doesn't need to tell you anything about himself. It is just there when you see him, okay? He's 6'4", he's a fucking paratrooper. Like, these guys are killing machines. And so the Northeast, we have some quite rough pubs and stuff up here. And he just walks into this pub and he's like, yeah, can I have a glass of rosé wine and some fried salmon or whatever it was that he had, poached salmon, right? And then everyone else is ordering pints and all that shit and eating steak and chips. And he's like, no, I'll have my rosé wine, please, and my poached salmon. Fucking reads books.
If you're comfortable in yourself, you don't need to impress other people. It's like men who are afraid of ordering cocktails. Like, you know what? A Cosmo is fucking delicious.
Yeah, and
if you are not secure in yourself to drink a pink drink, that's a you problem. Like,
yeah, exactly.
But it's like everybody thinks everybody's watching them. Everybody thinks everybody's judging them. It's like people who can't go to a movie by themselves because what are people going to think? Nobody even notices you. Like, who do you think you are that people are paying attention to you everywhere you go?
Yeah,
Nobody cares, but everybody's so wrapped up in their own image.
I think the mating strategy that they would call it, the mating strategy that would work for me, has always been that I don't give a shit. Like, I'm just me and I just turn up and I'm scruffy and unkempt. I'm socially awkward and I'm a bit weird, but it works because I'm myself. And then the people that I'm around, no, like, I think people get a sense of that, like, they get this, they get, like, this unconscious feeling about people that, like, is this person being genuine or not? Mm-hmm. And, like, if you are being genuine, that is worth more than being a muscle-bound hunk with a fake personality and a little bit of cash. If you act like yourself, that will go way further.
And that's exactly it. Like, it's exhausting to try to be somebody else. And then at what point does that end, right? Like, you can't play that role forever. So then when you drop the charade, what if you are now someone that person wouldn't have been gravitated towards or been attracted to, right? It's like, again, I go back to Reddit. There's like a Tinder Reddit where guys and women, men and women, will both post screenshots of the beginning of a conversation. And it's like, what do I do next? And it's like, you don't go to Reddit to ask other people for their personalities. You respond in the way that you're going to respond.
Exactly.
And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. This isn't fucking Cyrano de Bergerac. Like, you're not have somebody in the bushes feeding you lines. Just be yourself. And if it doesn't work with this person, there is somebody else. Or be comfortable enough with yourself. Like, why does... I mean, I know this is rich coming from somebody who's been in a relationship for 27 years, but how come nobody is comfortable being with themselves?
But this is what I would say, actually. Like, if you've been in a relationship 27 years, surely that says something, right? That the fact that your relationship functions and you're both comfortable with being yourselves in that relationship and the relationship still works. Like, you wouldn't be able to be with somebody that long if you were faking it. And if you had to ring somebody up every 5 minutes going, what do I say next? It wouldn't fucking work.
No, and we've never been anything but ourselves with each other because both of us walked into it not expecting it to be a long-term relationship. So we walked in completely ourselves with zero expectations, and here we fucking are. But I think people put too much pressure on themselves and put too much pressure on relationships and too much pressure on the other person. Like, just go with it. See where it goes. Be who you are. If it doesn't work out, there's always going to be somebody else. But there was like that passport bro we were talking. I saw a video. I think it was one. I don't know if it was one you sent me or one that I saw where he was like doing the math of like why he's a passport bro. And he was like, he's like, well, there are, I don't know, I can't remember the numbers. Like, there are 32 million Black women in the United States and 80% of them are obese. So that means there's only 8 million. There's only 8 million non-obese Black women in the United States, and half of them have herpes, so that means there's only 4 million. And then, like, how many are in relation? And he broke it down to make it sound like there's 3 women in all of the United States that are worthy of him,
which he was not a catch. He can't even change his smoke alarm battery.
So that's why he's got to go to Africa, which is the passport bros go to other countries.
But you had to go to the right Africa, according to him. You don't go to West Africa. No. You have to go to Ethiopia or Uganda, according to this bloke.
Yes, you can't go. Yes. And then that one video, he's like, I don't know what it's like in Brazil or the Philippines, but I can tell you in Africa.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding?
Ugh, idiot, man. And then when you get them over there and then they divorce you for somebody that is actually a decent human being who is what they claim to be and is just nice to them and treats them well, and they leave you for him, then, you know.
Yeah, because he wasn't going over there and, like, seeking to court and woo. He just wanted to, like, club a woman over the head and bring her back. And then force her to be, like, doesn't matter what she's like, what he's like, if they're compatible with their personality, you're like...
He probably watched 90 Day Fiancé and thought it was a handbook.
Those shows are the worst.
Definitely. Fucking hell. Man, I think another thing that particular group of man needs to really get comfortable with is rejection, right? And it, you know, I don't know what your life was like before you got married, but, like, we all get rejected, right? All the time, from everything in life. Whether it's a friendship, whether it's for a hookup, whether it's for a job, rejection happens way more often than being accepted.
But I don't know what it is. Like, I also see, like, a bunch of men who will compliment a woman. She'll say thank you, and then they get angry because she wasn't like, oh, no, stop, I'm not. She said, yeah, thank you. Like, yes, thank you for that compliment. And it's like they expect... I don't know what these men are expecting. Like, probably women have never been complimented before. Probably. Like, oh my God, you like my shirt? Let me drop to my knees and slug your neck right here in the alley.
One of the funniest rejections I got once, right? It was at, like, a house party, and I was just chatting to this girl. We're chatting for ages. Anyway, all a bit drunk. And then so I just went to go make out with her, and then she went, don't embarrass yourself.
Why would you think that you had an opening to just go make out with her?
Oh, no, yeah, that's, we were talking, and then it was just, it's what happened to house parties when you're, like, 17. Okay. Yeah. And then...
okay, Mr. Part of the Problem.
Yeah. But anyway, like, we bumped into each other in a pub, like, because I laughed at the time, and I was like, oh, okay, now I get it. And then later on, we just happened to bump into each other in this, in a student bar, and she's like, oh, I remember you. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry, I was such a bitch. I was like, no, it was hilarious. So
I
was just...
I deserved it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's one of those things, like, when you're drunk and then you think there's chemistry between you and the other person, but, like, this is part of growing up, is you're learning when that actually is the case, or you just get along. Like, okay, you're having a good conversation, but because you're drunk at a house party, not everybody's there to hook up, right?
And it's also like you handle the rejection well, where there's a man, I think there's a man in India who's suing a woman for $3 million Singapore, thank you. Because she just wants to be friends. $3 million is suing her for.
I think, well, that's a good place to fade to black.